We come this evening to Catechism 95. To whom is baptism to be administered? Baptism is not to be administered to any that are out of the visible church, till they profess their faith in Christ and obedience to him. But the infants of such as are members of the visible church are to be baptized. To whom is baptism to be administered? Baptism is not to be administered to any that are out of the visible church, till they profess their faith in Christ and obedience to him. But the infants of such as are members of the visible church are to be baptized. Remember from previous questions that baptism is to signify and to seal our engrafting into Christ. It is not per se a sign of our faith, but rather of Christ and the benefits of the new covenant. Baptism speaks about being embraced within and being a member of the covenant community, the Lord's people, one of the Lord's people. The faith is vital, but baptism itself is not the ultimate proof of faith. To whom is baptism to be administered? Baptism is not to be administered to any that are out of the visible church, till they profess their faith in Christ and obedience to him. So we're told first of all about who is excluded. Who's excluded from baptism? Everyone that is outside of the visible church. Now, the visible church, what does that mean? Well, it means the church as it appears to our sight. We see the corporate coming together of the people of God. That is the church. Sometimes we refer to a building with a pointed steeple, or a particular style of building, or the place where the Lord's people meet as the church. And that's okay as a shorthand way of speaking about where the church meets, but that's not actually the church. It's only a building. The church is not the building. The church, rather, are the people who gather to worship God, whether there or anywhere else, or whether it's outdoors and not in any building at all. And the visible church is a way of about speaking about all those people, those who profess to love and serve the Lord. But we can also speak about the invisible church. And there's a distinction made between the visible church as we see it and the invisible church as God sees it. Because the Lord knows the heart of every man and woman and boy and girl. And he knows perfectly who are his and those who are not. The elect from all eternity. That is the invisible church. But we cannot see in that way. But rather we recognise the community that are gathered and those who profess. And the scripture speaks about the church in these different ways. The church is the gathered community and also the church as those who are united through faith to Christ, established from all eternity by God's grace. So to whom is baptism to be administered? Was not to be administered to any that are out of the visible church. It's not possible for us to perfectly identify the invisible church. But it is possible for us to distinguish those who profess to follow Christ and who gather to worship him and submit under his word. And while there is an entitlement to baptism for those who are within the church, there is no entitlement to those who are outside of the church. Now there's a sequence when it comes to baptism. Faith, then baptism. To believe and then to be baptized, which is defined clearly for those who are out with the church. Those who are out with the church must first believe before they may be baptized. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 12, says that they were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, and at that point, and in that state, they had no entitlement to baptism. But the Lord in his mercy gave the great commission to go out and to make and to admit disciples into his church. Baptism is not to be administered to any that are out of the visible church till they profess their faith in Christ and obedience to him. You know, there are some who enter into a church building but who give no indication of ever entering the church. So it's not simply saying that those who come to church on a Sunday morning that they are entitled to baptism. It's those who enter the visible church. And there are some who by their life make very clear that they do not profess faith and obedience. They may attend, and there may be different reasons why they choose to attend, but that itself is not sufficient to entitle a person to be considered as being part of the visible church. And there are others who are brought up within the covenant community and who may still attend, but yet have clearly left the church, who are not seeking nor serving Christ. And to be there, it may be their habit. It may be to do with ritual and religion. It may be to please family. It may be because of pressure from society at different times. It's no longer like that in our own society today, but it was like that a generation ago. Everyone just went. I'm not talking about those who are merely neglecting the gospel, but those who are actively rejecting, who are refusing the gospel. These are covenant breakers. And while they may be gathered in the church building, they are not within the visible church. If there's no profession of faith, if there's no pursuit after Christ, we'll come back to consider these people, those most tragic of people, who are not ignorant intellectually, but have taken for granted blessings received and warnings given on her departing from the Saviour. To whom is baptism to be administered? Well, first of all, we're told who's excluded. All of those out with the visible church. And that may sometimes be those who attend with them, but by their lives clearly have no regard for the Saviour. But it's wonderful that we're told that those who are presently excluded are not absolutely indefinitely excluded, because if they will come through faith and obedience being the outworking of faith, then they are to be baptised. So Paul says to the church in Ephesus that they were strangers from the commonwealth. They were outside and without hope. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And so Paul addresses them as the church in Ephesus. We read in Acts chapter 16. Lydia and the Philippian jailer, We read of the Ethiopian eunuch. We read of others who were outside of the church and who were converted, who believed and were baptized. Who's excluded? Those that are out of the visible church, till they profess faith in Christ and obedience to him. But the infants of such as are members of the visible church are to be baptized. So baptism belongs to those within the visible church, those who profess to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and who profess that not only with their words, but with their works, and to their children. This is sometimes called a pedo-baptist position. The word pedo is like the word pediatric, which is to do with children's medicine. The pedi part of that means children. And in the case of infants, baptism does not follow faith and obedience. Because in an infant, there is not the scope for an active faith, and there is not the scope for an active obedience. I'm not saying there's not scope for grace. I'm not saying there's not scope for regeneration. But there is no scope for recognising faith and obedience. And yet baptism is to be administered to the infants of those who are within the visible church. And this brings a controversy, certainly with our Baptist friends, who believe that there must be a personal expression of faith before a believer can be baptized and infants are to be excluded. The question really is, are infants part of the visible church? It's important to recognise that the New Testament is an unfolding and fulfilling of Old Testament promises. We talk about the New Testament, we talk about the New Covenant, but we must understand that it is not absolutely different. It's not different. It's new in terms of clarity, it's new in that it's a complete revelation, it's new in that it is fulfilled. But there is a continuity between the old and the new. In the new we find all that the old anticipated. So whether you go to Genesis, at the beginning of the old, to Malachi at the end of the old, to Matthew at the beginning of the new, to Revelation at the end of the new, you find out working of the one covenant of grace. Differently expressed, but the one covenant of grace. And I emphasise that because what we see as the Lord dealt with his people in the Old Testament days, that their children were to receive the sign of circumcision. The Lord said to Abraham, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And therefore their infant sons were to be circumcised. Before any evidence of faith or obedience, they were to receive the sign of the covenant. And there is a correspondence between circumcision and baptism. Circumcision being the sign that was used in the Old Testament, baptism being a different sign for the same thing. We can say that because we see the parallels. Circumcision and baptism, Passover and the Lord's Supper. The two sacraments of the old meet with the two sacraments of the new. Colossians chapter 2 speaks about the believer in Christ having all that was anticipated in circumcision and all that was anticipated in baptism. And it's the same thing. It's the washing away, it's the cutting away, the removal of the old, that there might be life. There was a difference. Circumcision was a bloody ritual. There's no blood now because Christ's blood is shed. Circumcision was looking forward. Baptism looks back to remember what's been accomplished. We're told in Galatians chapter 3, if you be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise that was made to Abraham, and the promise that was renewed through all the pages of the Old Testament and finds its fulfillment in Christ. There is one covenant, there is one people, there is one faith, and there are two different expressions of this sacrament. The Old Testament expression and the New Testament expression. And children were a part of it. And if in the pages of the New Testament children were not to be a part of it, that is something that would have to be made very clear. They would have to instruct those first believers who were schooled through the Old Testament scriptures that no longer were their children included. But nowhere do we find that. Rather, we find Peter preaching at Pentecost, and he says to them, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The children are included. And in writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14, speaking about the situation where there's one partner in a marriage and married is converted and the other one is not, Paul says the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. I'm not saying one converted partner converts the other one, but rather where there's one converted partner, the child is considered holy. Not saved, but holy. That word means saints, but it means they're sanctified, set apart, special, under, we're within the embrace of God's covenant. And therefore, to be recognized as such and given the sign of the covenant to be baptized. It's not necessary that both parents profess to love the Lord. But where even one does, the child is recognized as a covenant child. And we read in Acts chapter 16, and you see there, Lydia, the Lord opened her heart, and her household was baptized. The Philippian jailer, he trembled, he fell down, he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he brought Paul, Silas into his home. And his family heard the gospel, and they were all baptized together. You know, the New Testament doesn't narrow the application of the sacrament from the Old Testament pages where it was for you and for your children, but rather it enlarges it because it is for you and for your children, and it's no longer restricted to the males. But men and women, boys and girls, are to be baptized. To whom then is baptism to be administered? Baptism is not to be administered to any that are out of the visible church, till they profess their faith in Christ and obedience to him, but the infants of such as are members of the visible church are to be baptized. It's important to note that if you leave the church, if you break covenant, it not only has an impact upon you, but an impact upon the generations that proceed from you. You may have been baptized, but if you do not follow through and take hold of Christ by faith, My faith is not demonstrated by a life which is shaped by obedience, not a holy perfection. No one can achieve that. But if that faith is not worked out in a level of consistency, then you take yourself and your line. You take yourself and your family out from under the promises of God and away from His grace. And there's to be no baptism for the next generation. And that is the case even if you're physically there on a Sunday morning, but you break covenant for you refuse to pursue after Christ and to believe in Him and to honour Him. Because you are not able to take the necessary vows to say that you believe in the Lord and you trust His word and that you will bring up this child in the fear and admonition of the Lord, because you cannot do so unless you yourself fear Him and you yourself are admonished, that means taught and instructed by the Lord. The reality is the person presenting a child for baptism ought to also present themselves to sit at the table of the Lord. Because to present a child for baptism is to express faith and hope in God's grace. And anyone who comes asking for baptism who is not expressing faith and hope in God's grace is merely only acting out of tradition and ought not, must not be given baptism. Because they do not understand and they will misrepresent this glorious and wonderful picture that we have of Christ and the benefits of the new covenant. Now I know there must be pastoral wisdom. I know there are some situations where there are those who do not sit at the table who ought to sit at the table. But where there is no faith, there can be no baptism. To whom is baptism to be administered? Baptism is not to be administered to any that are out of the visible church, for they profess their faith in Christ and obedience to Him, but the infants of such as are members of the visible church are to be baptized. There's no virtue in baptism of itself, but it speaks powerfully, doesn't it, of Christ's claim and His grace. So let me say to you tonight, if you're one of those who've been baptized but hasn't followed through and hasn't expressed faith and hasn't demonstrated faith, I want to ask you, what are you going to do? Will you unbaptize yourself? Well, you can't. You can't unbaptize yourself. You might say, but what right did my parents have to take this vow, to make these promises, to present me? Well, the reality is, friends, even if your parents hadn't presented you for baptism, you're the children of the Lord's people. You are children of the covenant. That's the case for our Baptist friends who don't baptize their children. Their children are still covenant children. They don't have the privilege of seeing that demonstrated in the acceptance of their children within the church in that formal way. But the sacrament doesn't make you a member of the church. It illustrates your being a member of the church. And it's like your nationality. You say, what right do my parents have to make me British? What right do my parents have to make me Scottish? It's just, that's what you are. Because that's who they were. And so you have been baptized by virtue of the fact that you are a covenant child. Just as it is with your nationality, you may not like the fact that you've been made British. You may resent that. You may grow up and choose to rebel and to war against the state. But ultimately, if you do that, you'll be crushed. and you may choose to rebel and war against the Lord when his mercy has embraced you. But how much more will you be crushed if that is the case? But like your nationality, you should grow up to love these people to whom you belong. Everyone thinks their own country is the best. Just because it is. Because that's who they are. And so it is that you who are covenant children should see and recognise the privilege that you have and see that this is the best and praise and worship God who in his mercy has so embraced you. You must improve your baptism that you might experience all that it anticipates, that there would be faith on obedience. And maybe if tonight you feel far away and you feel you've not got a cry to make before God, well, plead your baptism and fall to your knees and say, Lord, as you have in your gracious mercy been pleased to receive me and set that sign upon me even in my earliest of days, receive me now and give me grace to receive the fullness of it. It was your sign, it was by your decree, it was your purpose and your will that I would have it. Give me it all. Give me the fullness. That's what to pray. To whom is baptism to be administered? Baptism is not to be administered to any that are out of the visible church, till they profess their faith in Christ and obedience to him. But the infants of such as are members of the visible church are to be baptized. Amen.